Blog Talk Radio.
Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for You. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, master motivator and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. Each week, we come together to engage on life's highway, where we are on a divine journey in which I believe God is truly the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you tuning in for this time of empowerment, coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your life on your journey of purpose, for you to be more equipped to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on two formats of empowerment that we bring you each week. The blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or areas of expertise, and our Shape Up series, which has been designed to support you on your journey to win, personally and professionally, so that you may be more equipped to work it now. Work your vision, achieve your goals, and ultimately live your dream. If you have missed any of our past show episodes, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmediaforyou. www.blogtalkradio.com Inspired Media for You. The number four, letter U. On our last installment of Motivational Mondays, we shared another powerful Shape Up episode on the price of success. The price of success. It was truly rich, and if you missed it, archives are always available. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. My guest and I will share for about 40 minutes into our broadcast around today's subject, and then we will open our programming up for your audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and your comments. This, of course, will lend to an interactive environment. We encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime on in. Don't be scared. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays, our in-studio guest has learned the true meaning of the sweet spot of purpose. But before I bring in our in-studio guest, I want to take a quick moment to ask of you, our global listening audience, take the time to invite someone to share with you on today's broadcast. Write on someone's Facebook wall, send a quick tweet, send a DM, a message in the bottle, a carrier pigeon, a fax, a text, do what you need to do to invite someone to share with you in today's broadcast. The sweet spot of purpose. Ooh, that has such a great ring to it. Well, let me share with you about today's in-studio guest, just in brief, because I've asked her to give from her point of view some highlights. But I want you to know that Kim Anthony brings more than 25 years of experience in her role as the founder of Lead Trainer for Urban Excellence Training, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing world-class, cutting-edge personal growth and development programs to under-resourced communities. Prior to launching Urban Excellence, Ms. Anthony led small businesses and entrepreneurial development programs for Black Business Association for more than a decade. She then parlayed that experience into the launch of the Urban Business Journal and its radio counterpart, KTYM 1460 AM, the Radio Boardroom with Kim Anthony and Mark Hamilton. This weekly business talk show also featured a very special segment to me, Coach Adams, because I was fortunate to be the co-host and present what was known as Motivational Minute, and that is one of the areas in which Kim Anthony and I have been on our journey together, and it was such a special time. We're going to share more about who Kim Anthony is and this powerhouse joining us in our virtual boardroom, but without further ado, let us welcome Kim Anthony.
Good afternoon, or good evening, I should say. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it is such a joy to have you. And, you know, you could also say good morning because we never know where people are listening in from, and it is a global audience. So all of those
greetings
would, of course, apply.
So, okay, so we'll go with how our friends in Australia do it and say good day. How about that? Good day, everybody.
Oh, yes. Good day, mate. So, Kim, I would love for you to share from your point of view, who is this beautiful light and spirit known as Kim Anthony? How would you describe her?
Wow. I mean, just from reading my bio, you can probably tell that I'm pretty multifaceted. I am, first of all, a child of the Most High God. I am a child of God, a Christian. I'm a wife. I am a pastor's wife, which is a different role in and of itself. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a community leader. A woman of, you know, philanthropy and making a difference. I'm really committed to having people use their gifts, talents, skills, and abilities to make a difference in our community. Former Miss California 2000, and I used my reign during Miss California to bring awareness to the plight of foster children, particularly emancipating foster children, which I was one. I grew up in the foster care system. I'm just about my community. I really truly believe that I was raised by my community, literally raised by my community. So I've always, it's gone beyond community for me. It's always been, I'm just making my family better. So if you notice, I've been, you know, there's Urban Business Journal, Urban Excellence, Urban Leadership, Urban Philanthropy, and that urban really kind of points to this community of people that I call family. So I would say, I also say that I'm a daughter of the community that raised me.
You know, I absolutely love that, and one of the things that I really have grown to love and appreciate about you is that you have such a heart for community. And that, as we know, you have are constantly bringing different programming and things of that nature to help communities to grow, to help entrepreneurs, to help nonprofits, business owners, and so on and so forth. And as we're talking about today, this sweet spot of purpose, you know, I was processing around what does this really mean? You know, we talked about it, and this is the name, the title that came up for us, and if both you and I share such a passion for purpose, individuals really aligning with what they were created to do, in essence, is what, quote-unquote, living life on purpose is all about. But when you hear this term, the sweet spot of purpose, and all of the journey that Kim Anthony has been on, the backdrop that's led her to where she is today, what does that mean to you?
Okay. Well, if you look at we as a people, and, you know, in the way that I was raised, I got the opportunity to see a lot firsthand how many people, cadres of people from our community lived. And one thing that I know firsthand, I just didn't see one household. I saw many households. And one of the things that I'm realizing is that we are very, very talented and creative people. And so there are many things that we can do. There are many hustles that we can do, if you will. But so there's things that you could do, and there may be things that you should do, but there's only one thing or maybe a few things that you are meant to do. And so a common friend of ours, Janice Smallwood McKenzie, said, but there's a thing that you're meant to do. What would that be? And that just shut down a whole lot of other doors, if you will, that I would have gone through. What I'm meant to do and what I've always done, and the thread, the common thread that's gone through everything that I have done, is champion people in tapping into their passion, what they love doing, and then turning it, developing it, and turning it such that it makes a difference in the community. And so it may sound like I'm talking about business development, or I may be talking about starting and launching and growing a nonprofit, and the next time I may even be talking about fashion. But at the end of the day, it's about who are you, what matters to you, and how can I be on your team to get you into that sweet spot that you are making the contribution that you came here to make. When our creator, when God thought you up, what is it that he had in mind for you to do? And the closer you can get to that, the more you're lit up. I know for me, the more I'm lit up, I tell people to do that thing that you know, they talk about at inappropriate time that they won't shut up about. If you love doing it, that's a sign. So when I have any hand in getting someone to that place where their eyes light up, but that tells me that when they develop whatever that gift or talent is and connect that to a need, or I call it from passion to pain, really, find the pain in our community, find the pain in our marketplace, find the pain in our world, and apply your passion to that pain, that is where your purpose lies. And so to get people there, and because it's, you know, it's not necessarily easy, and it may be simple but not necessarily easy, but if you have a passion and if it matters to you, if it's your voice and it's a voice that is uniquely you, chances are you're going to be great at doing it. And people want to be a part of someone, you know, of a movement that's inspired. And so there's no better way to be, to be the catalyst of an inspired movement than to be sold out and walking in that, as you put it, sweet spot of purpose. So I'm just passionate about that. And I'm talking about, I'm at the 7-Eleven, and I'm standing there putting, you know, the creamer in my coffee, and there's inevitably someone who'll stand next to me, and I'll go, going to work or coming to work, coming from work, and they'll tell me going or coming, it doesn't matter. Do you love it? They'll tell me yes or no, typically no. And that's my opening to get with them about, okay, well, what would you do if failure wasn't an option? What would you do if you had all the resources to do it? So I just everywhere I go, I'm about that. And it's just, you know, it's just a blessing. And it did take some courage to say, you know what, this is what it is. And so I hope I'm kind of going around the corner to get next door, but it's finding that thing that lights you up, that gets you up early and keeps you up late. And that's that thing. If you love doing it, that's a sign.
And you know what? What I love about what you're sharing is, one, you said something very key, and yes, our mutual love heart, Janice Smallwood McKenzie, that thing mm-hmm. that you were meant to do, whatever it is that lights you up. I know in any environment that I'm in, I have to ask individuals, is it okay to coach you? Because I realize they may ask the question because it's my heart, it's my passion. Automatically I go into that coaching mode around mm-hmm. purpose so I can truly relate. And like you said, it is that fire. And for us, it's assisting individuals in different aspects of it on this journey of purpose. But whatever it may be for you, our global listening audience listening in, maybe you are the one that truly you are the key to someone else's vision because of what you do in a different way. Maybe they're wanting to be an author and you are an editor. I don't know. But there are all of these different layers to when you're doing what you've been called to do. There is such a vibrancy that happens on the journey. And I often say, Kim, that it is being that round peg positioned in that round hole that you were designed for, not that square mm-hmm. peg trying to fit into a square hole, round peg trying to fit into a square hole. There will be friction. And I love that for you it's not just about excellence, but it is rather urban excellence. And that brings me to this question around, because I know a lot of what your focus is urban excellence. Why mm-hmm. urban excellence versus just excellence in all of what you do and how you serve with your magazine, just everything? Give us some more information mm-hmm. about the different components of urban excellence.
Okay, so the first thing that I want to say is that I want to make the distinction between excellence and perfection. And, you know, for a long time I had those two distinctions collapse, and it scared the heck out of me. It's like, I'm not perfect. There's no way I can stand up and say I'm excellent. But there is nobody who can do what I do when I'm in my element the way I can. Does that make sense? So that's that. You may not be excellent at everything.
It makes total sense because I get it.
Yes. I mean, I remember a night that it was a dark night of the soul, and, I mean, I cried my eyes shut. I mean, swollen shut. And, honey, I had a workshop the next day. He went in there and slayed because it's my element. And so, one quick way to get there, maybe a shortcut to get there, is to get into doing that thing that you love doing. That's that thing, right? And then it does require for us to, as you just mentioned, to build teams. So we're not going to be excellent at everything. We're not, but we're going to be excellent at the thing that God put in us. And then we love it and respect ourselves enough to develop it. And, you know, ancestors of African slaves, there's something, you know, they talk about the slave mentality. You've heard that term. And, you know, some people can say, oh, that was 300 years ago or 400 years ago, and it doesn't impact us today. Slavery has been outlawed, you know, et cetera. But the mindset has been passed down from generation to generation. And the particular mindset that shows up for me that I really you know, am zeroing in on is how we value our own brilliance or how we don't value our own brilliance. And so when you have, you know, the United States basically built on the back of slaves, but we don't value that contribution even in our own selves. We, if you pass that ideology down to where we are now, we may have the best ideas, the brilliant products and services and inventions and creations and voice, and we do not value it. So that's one area that I am just passionate about, almost maniacal about, is making sure that those things that we go, I just sing in church on Sunday. I've just been making these pies for, you know, decades. That was grandmama's recipe. No, those gifts, that we value those gifts and we respect those gifts enough to develop them. And then urban, you know, because I care about us having the tools and that we're equipped to really master and leverage what we have and take it to the level that it will serve the maximum number of people, I wanna make sure that, you know, the support is available. So I took it upon myself to go and find out the big achievers in our society or in the marketplace. What are they doing? But the other thing that I'm noticing is they're charging thousands and thousands of dollars for it. And if anybody who would benefit from having that world-class information, if you will, it would be people from our community. So, one, I bring it back to our community. But another thing is we may not even have the resources that they're working with to get things done. Sometimes we're going to have to bootstrap it. So there's a different level or area of excellence, if you will, that we cultivate. Does that make sense? Damon John has a book called The Power of Poor. Necessity is the mother of invention. And there's nothing more empowering than you need to make this happen by, you know, the first of the month. Does that make sense? And it just do or die. So using that kind of sweat equity and that grit and being creative, you may not be able to hire a team of people, but how can you get it done doing what you have with doing what you can with what you have where you are in the time that you've got?
Absolutely. And you know what I love is that it's not solely based on the money, because wherever you are, you can still bring excellence. And I think that that is something that is really lacking. People will often say, well, I don't have the money, so I can't do things at a certain level. And it's about doing and giving your very best right where you are. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about, you know, what one was meant to do, you know, it made me think about, as you were talking about urban excellence, are you saying that what we love to do, that it's not solely about the money?
Definitely not. It's about contribution. It's about making it's about making the contribution or creating value. It is certainly about creating value in the world, and the more value you can create in the world and in the lives of people will tend to attract money, attract resources. This society, and it's really interesting. There's like E! Entertainment Television and there's magazines, and they talk about the bling-bling lifestyle of people, of our celebrities, but they rarely talk about what it took society. It doesn't matter where you're from. It values and celebrates excellence, whether it's basketball, whether it's grades in schools, whether it's making art. It values excellence. It values people who respect themselves or respect their gift enough to put the time in to develop excellence. And so when you do that, nine times out of ten, you will attract the support and the resources that you need. And so it doesn't matter where you come from. You be excellent at what it is that you do. It's almost unfortunate that all it takes is for you to be really excellent at what you do, because this world, our society, is so, quote-unquote, okay with mediocrity. So just, you know, you would think that everybody would want to just live, you know, and do their best at what matters to them most, but people who really put in the time and they really follow their heart and they put their heart and their love and respect into what it is that they were born to do, they stand out. Whether it's balancing a ball or balancing a checkbook. Some people just love numbers. They're just great at numbers. Some people love fashion. Some people love color. If they put their time and energy and really took it seriously and really valued it, the excellence is very attractive. That's why people, there's this thing about people in why people in uniform are so attractive. It's the excellence that's attractive. And that doesn't cost anything for the most part, but the commitment and the willingness to do something. You may not be able to do everything, but you can say, you know what, today I'm going to take some time and make a direct deposit of excellence towards that thing that I love, the thing that I cherish, and put that into the world.
And, you know, that is so key, Kim, because it really is about that sweet spot, you know, of what you love. And when we tap into, as you said so well, what we love, without question, we should, in fact, bring excellence to that. We should have such a passion that we want to bring the very best quality that we can to whatever that is, right where mm-hmm. we are. And like you said, it's not about, I believe you said, it's not about trying to be perfect. I know I am. Coach Adams is a reformed perfectionist, and so it's not about trying to be perfect, dotting every I and crossing every T, because one can really get into a state of paralysis if you're trying to be perfect. But if you're focused mm-hmm. on bringing your very best, the greatest quality that you can based on where you are in that moment, doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to grow, but you're giving your best. And that's all that can be asked of us, is that we give mm-hmm. our very best. And when we tap into that sweet spot, it makes it that much more enjoyable. You know, when you think about something sweet, it is pleasing to the palate. You know,
it awakens
one's senses. You know, I have two very dear friends of mine. When we go to a restaurant, and for years, you know, they want to know what is on the sweet menu, what's on the dessert menu, before
yes.
even knowing, you know, what is there to eat at this restaurant. I'm the opposite. I want to know, because I'm a foodie, okay, what is there to eat? But that sweet
mm-hmm.
spot is pleasing. It's that sweetness that, you know, so pleasing to the palate that brings joy, you know, when you have something sweet and rich. And so when we tap into that sweet spot, we're really tapping into, I believe, our core. And like you
yes.
said earlier, how we were created, how we were designed, because we're doing what we were meant to do. And when we do that, we should feel a passion to bring the very best quality, and that is excellence.
Mm-hmm.
How would you recommend? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You brought up sweets, and for some reason I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, Häagen-Dazs vanilla Swiss almond ice cream. I don't have to think about how to eat that. I will go to the store, and I would, you know, walk to the store. It's in walking distance, and I wouldn't make it home. I'd be eating the ice cream on the way home from the store, and I might have a bite or two left when I get home. It's finding that thing in your life that you love as much as that ice cream, that you don't have to, it's almost not work for you, but if it is work for you, it's a labor of love. And it sounded like you were going to ask, you know, how do you find that? Is that where you were going?
I definitely was, because I love how you said I can be in 7-Eleven and I'm having a conversation with someone and I'm asking them, do you
mm-hmm.
love it? And when people say, no, I don't, they're saying that I am living the salt. I'm living the sour. I'm living the bitter of life, not
yeah.
the sweet. So I would love to hear wisdom that you would have to share on how you would recommend, so that those listening in to Motivational Mondays today with Coach Adams and our in-studio guest, Kim Anthony, around this subject of the sweet spot, that they would
mm-hmm.
know, okay, how do I tap into it? Have I tapped into it? What can I do? So any recommendations that you have, any wisdom on how one would make this connection with the sweet spot?
Mm. Wow. Okay. I'll just say, if I'm sitting at the plane waiting for a plane, speaking to someone about to take off, okay, I'll just say what I would say to them. Do you love doing it? You know, if you love doing it, that's a sign. Is there something that you do that you lose time doing? And I'm not talking about Facebook and social media. I'm talking about, do you get into baking, or do you get into painting, or do you get into, decorating, or do you get into reading or writing? Is there something that you get lost in? Do you pay prices for it almost? I mean, when I was I was an intern becoming a trainer, I would call in sick and so that I can volunteer to go and intern these trainings. And one time my boss actually walked up to me and said, you're fired. And whatever that is that you're doing, you need to do that because you're excellent at it. So what are you willing, I mean, oh my goodness, what do you take some risks for, pay some prices for, and it's like, gosh, you know, this is my last, or I'm going into my rent money, but I've got to go and to this concerto because you love it that much. What are you willing to pay prices for? And you know, what I'm talking about is love in your heart. And sometimes, you know, in making a living, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't make a living. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you know, it's honorable to live in integrity with our brethren and pay our bills. And so I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to find a space, carve a space so that you can engage that part of yourself and let that part of yourself start to brighten and become alive. And then that will start to pretty soon, you'll even be showing up differently at work. I remember I was working for a company and in philanthropy, and our day started at 5 a.m. at the desk having had coffee. So not on your way to your desk, but had your coffee and you're sitting at the desk, and it went till 3, and it's what a drudgery kind of a existence. But I looked at that job as financing my passion. So if you bring into being, even if it's for free, even if it's once a week or once a month, and you still have that job or that drudgery, but if you shift the context that is now financing your ability to do that thing that you love. So there's what makes you angry? What just, what makes you angry? What makes you cry sometimes? Hearing, like, if you watch the news, you know, what moves you and touches you about what you hear on the news? There's a sign about that, maybe a difference that you should be making. I can't hear about children being abused. I can't hear about children not having, a place to stay. I can't watch what's happening in Africa. without wanting to jump into some kind of action. So what moves you? Because if you're moved, emotion, it tends to get you in motion to make it happen. And you don't, it's not something that you have to figure out. You usually find yourself doing it even when you don't want to do it. Does that make sense?
It most definitely makes sense, Kim. And, you know, as you were speaking, I was reflecting on two little stories. One, my journey in real estate. And I remember taking an application. I was in real estate finance at the time, and I was taking an application for this couple in Dominguez Hills. And this was before I even had, quote, unquote, the title coach. And I remember the wife saying, Shania, we really appreciate that you care so much about our lives and us wanting to do better, mm-hmm. but we're just trying to get this loan. And, you know, it was in retrospect mm-hmm. that I then realized that what she was saying to me is, you are trying to coach me, and we're just trying to get this real estate finance loan. We're just trying to refi, and you're trying to coach us. You know, and I also,
yes.
when we were speaking, I was thinking about when I was in property management, that I, to that industry, looked like I was going backwards because everyone wanted to be the manager of the property. And I had been there, done that, and God spoke his purpose. And I began to mm-hmm. look at exactly what you just said, Kim. How can I now hone in to more of those areas within this field that gives me the opportunity to sharpen the skills of the coach, of the speaker, of the trainer? So I went mm-hmm. from a manager to an assistant manager to a leasing manager, and in that industry it was like, she's going backwards. But for me, I was going forward in purpose because I knew the coach can't be cultivated behind the desk crunching numbers and doing financials. That she had to be mm-hmm. out there more in the mix. And so I love that you said carve out, figure out how can I do it at some level? How can I fuel my passion at some level? How can I live in this area of my life as I'm growing, the sweet spot of purpose? Oh, this is so rich.
Mm-hmm.
I am loving it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Kim, I think that we should give the global listening audience an opportunity to chime in. Maybe someone has a question. Maybe they want to make a comment. So I want to let those that are listening in know that this is the time in our programming when we invite you to share in the discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Press 1. If you're on your electronic device, you do need to dial in. Dial 516-453-9374, 516-453-9374, and again, press 1 to be added to the host queue. Meanwhile, Kim and I will continue our dialogue here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, and we are talking about the sweet spot of purpose. Woo, it has been rich. You know, Kim, I have to ask you because I know that one of your areas of specialty is training. And I mm-hmm. needed to know, you know, from you, why training versus seminars? What insight do you have around this for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, a seminar, and I love seminars. I love seminars. I love audiobooks, anything that can teach. I love learning. A seminar is a set of information, predetermined information that definitely will inform your life or inform your profession or whatever it is that you are taking on, and that is absolutely important. And I do some of that in some of my other workshops, particularly around in nonprofit in my business development courses. There are some things that you actually need to know to do by the book, so to speak. But in training is experiential. Training is putting you in action and in motion and doing what it is that you're saying. So we're discussing. So it's, the word educate, it comes from a Latin word called educate, which means to pull out. Because you already know. So, and, you know, as coaches, we know that the coaches don't necessarily have the best answers, but they have the bomb question. Training is seeking out those answers from the people who are in there, and then like, great, let's see you walk this out in this room like right now, or let's send you out into the world and we'll see you in 2.5 hours and you tell me how you got that done. And so you can build a momentum. So it's very experiential. It's a discipline. It's a rigor versus having some book knowledge and some intelligence, which is important, but it's that it goes a step further and puts that book knowledge and that intelligence in action. So does that make sense?
It most definitely does, and I know that, you know, oftentimes you have trainings that are available. I didn't know if you had something coming up that you would like to share with our global listening audience and letting them know how would they actually make the connection with Kim Anthony and what you have to offer.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so it's the Urban Excellence Trainings, and I toyed with the idea of calling it Urban Excellence Seminars, and back to because the seminars is more known. It's a more, people kind of understand what seminars are, but we really are a training company, and we have a tri-level curriculum. Our flagship program is a tri-level curriculum that's about getting you to break through into that what it is that you are being put here to do and to take action on it. So the first level is a 1 day followed by an evening follow-up. It's all day Saturday, and that's called momentum, and it gives you an opportunity to take a look at, okay, where am I now? You have an opportunity to stop what you're doing and spend the whole day focused on you, what matters to you, what stops you, what gets in the way, when did you stop dreaming or when did you dial it back or water it down? It's all about taking a look at you and how you engage with what you're here about. And then the second level is another, it's actually a weekend. It's a Friday and a Saturday and then a Thursday night follow-up. And that's like, great. This is what you're up to. Now you need to enroll people in the community and what it is that you're doing. So how do you show up in the world in such a way that people voluntarily commit their time, energy, resources to helping you, supporting you, and championing you and having your dreams turn out? And you get to see what's working about the way you're showing up and what may be blocking your success. And totally loving, but you get to see those things that once you leave there will either make or break your success. And then the third level is a 90-day implementation program. It's called Vision and Accomplishment, and you work individually and as a team on accomplishing extraordinary goals, unprecedented results, as it relates to your sweet spot of purpose. So you actually take it out of this is something that I always wanted to do, or this is something that's a hobby, but you put it in the world. And so there's we call it a legacy project or a passion project that you do in the world. Every single person to graduate must do something in the world, whether it's a launch party or maybe they do an art show or whatever it is that represents what it is they do. But they invite the world in to see or to participate or engage in what their purpose is. And the next program is starting. And it's the first weekend of December, so I think that would be Saturday December 3rd. And if you would like to go, if you want to participate, you go to urban-excellence.org, urban-excellence.org, and the tuition is free $99. We do what's called a pay it forward scholarship. So anyone, I have done so many trainings that I was, skipping rent money to be able to take. And I don't want, finances to be a barrier for people to get these tools and this education. So we offer it for free, and then that you can do a love offering or contribution to pay it forward to the next group. And we have never not been able to pull off our trainings. And even, you know, the paid trainings, they don't offer breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We do, because we create an environment where you are loved, you are honored, you are celebrated, you are respected, because you're there to talk about something that I think is just precious, which is your reason for being. And so we hold that very highly and with reverence and respect. So we create an environment that really celebrates the grandiosity of what you're there about. It's not just another workshop. It's not just another seminar. We are there to be with you and consider it a privilege. And then whatever people choose to do, you know, if they want to do a love offering, they can or not, that's fine. The Lord has always provided. So anybody who has something that they've been thinking about in the middle of the night and, oh, how would I do it, or it's too late, we'd love to have you, and we can dust off those dreams and take some bold and courageous action towards having them turn out.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. I love it. You know, I want to hear from you, and I do want to remind our global listening audience that our programming is open. This is the time in our program, our broadcast, when we invite you to share in the discussion. Again, press 1 on your telephone keypad. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. If you are on your electronic device, your iPad, your tablet, your laptop, desktop, you do need to dial in. You would dial 516-453-9374, 516-453-9374. Again, press 1 on your telephone keypad. This will add yourself to the host queue. Are you getting a value from what's sharing this evening? Don't be scared. This is a safe space. We want to hear from you. Meanwhile, Kim and I will continue our dialogue. And, Kim, you know, you and I both share this love for personal development. And I would love to know what drew you to this personal development industry. Why this particular community? And do you know that this community is a $10 billion community? Did you know that?
You know what? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I just recently, that number may be a little conservative, by the way. There is an industry called the happiness industry, by the way. So yes. It is quite lucrative. You know, two things, though. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show that I grew up foster kid. And first of all, I didn't know everybody didn't get to go visit a whole bunch of families. So it wasn't like a hardship for me. It was like, ooh, where am I going next? But I would witness things. I would witness people who lived great lives, and I would witness people who were absolutely brilliant but just, you know, could not make the connections. And one of the things that I noticed, even as a little girl, is that when people get that they matter, when people, you know, are acknowledged for who they are and their gift, there's something about that. I don't know why I put that two and two together, but when people know they're valued and what they do and who they are valued, and that shaped kind of how I started caring about people and letting them know that they're valued. And in order to value people, you have to be able to look in, you know, look into people, look past the surface of you know, what people are even, you know, presenting. So that's one of the things that I learned about people, just finding what's the gold, what's the jewel. Okay, you got a bad attitude and you know, bitter beer face and angry, but there's beauty. There is beauty. I have never met anyone, or growing up, that didn't, even though no matter how cranky they might have been, there's beauty. I see the beauty. I find the beauty in them. And then, you know, and then the second reason is, you know, fast forward, I'm 18, and I'm emancipating. And I remember sitting in Brentwood, California, on a bus bench, and I'm seeing these people my age, driving by in BMWs and cabriolets, remember the rabbits, the cabriolets, the convertible rabbits, like, how do they do that? I had no clue, like, what, how, because I didn't have, you know, those parents that said, you go to, you know, you work hard, you go to school, make good grades. I didn't have that. I was figuring all that on my own. And also, in some of the neighborhoods, a safe place to be was in the library. So I was just drawn, I don't know how, you know, you go in the library and a book hits you on the head and that's the book that, you know, God wants you to read. I just would stay until the library closed reading how to make friends and influence and how to make friends and influence. How to make friends? That's a good way.
How to win friends and influence people.
I was about to say influence enemies. It's like, wait a minute, that is not it. Or think and grow rich. And, you know, the psychology of success. So it's those books that taught me how to win in life. I knew it was more, you know, I was raised by some wonderful people, but I knew that there was more than, you know, what I was seeing. And so I just, you know, just for my own edification and survival, it's like, how do you get on television and how do you get to travel and how do you get to drive that kind of car and live in that kind of place? And my mother, before she passed away, told me, anything you ever want to know is written in the book somewhere. That's one thing. That's one message. She would take us to the library, and we'd check out 10 books, and then we'd go back the next Wednesday. It was always a Wednesday. We'd check out 10 more. And she instilled in us reading. And so that's one gift she left with me. Anything I ever want to know is in a book somewhere. And so when I'm reading these books, I'm like, does everybody know this? And typically, at least they didn't act like they knew it. So that became, you know, part of, you know, because I just want people to be happy. I mean, if people are happy and loving what they do, they don't, you know, they're not mean and beat up on people, and there's not so much strife in our community. And I think our community is beautiful, and we're gifted and loving and just got a lot. We have so much within ourselves. That's why they're borrowing our culture and appropriating our culture all over the world, because we're that brilliant. But we need to value it and cherish it and develop it ourselves.
And I agree with you. And, you know, the key is that when individuals are one with who they are and they're able to embrace their uniqueness and tapping into what one would say their authentic self, which is their uniqueness and just how they were wired. I remember when I first started speaking, because I, you know, have a quirky side and it's a little offbeat and all of this. And, you know, I had to embrace that. I knew others wouldn't embrace it for a long time, though. I was uncomfortable for me that I was, you know, I had this offbeat way and, you know, could be kind of quirky and what have you. But when you embrace that and you're able to be one with that, then you're able to really fly in this sweet spot of purpose, because you are now tapping into, you're one with yourself, you're comfortable with who you are, and that's why the personal development is so important, and you're able to be what you've been created to be, that what we were talking about earlier, what you were meant to do. You're able to do that authentically when you are okay with who you are, how you were wired, how you were created, the quirkiness, the silliness, whatever it is, the offbeat style, whatever. It's all a part of our uniqueness, and then we can be the best original that we were designed to be, instead of trying to be a copy of other people, which is what so many people are doing, because they haven't become one with, they haven't done that time in building and developing who they are personally. I wanted to share with you, Kim, that I actually had an opportunity to be on a personal call with John Maxwell, and that's who said that personal development is a $10 billion-plus industry. So that's where I got that figure. I wanted to share that. John Maxwell, of course, one of his most noted writings, and he has, I think, like over 60 books. I hope I'm not undercutting that, but Developing a Leader Within is one of his most noted, or one of his noted. I don't want to say most noted because he's had a lot since then. Mm-hmm. Share with us, because we're approaching that closing point of the show, and I know that you have on the horizon releasing, if I'm not mistaken, in 2017, the Urban Excellence Magazine. In a quick soundbite, share with us about it. How can one learn more?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I would say my second love growing up was publishing. My first business was doing a publication called Teen On The Scene Teen Magazine or something like that. And so it put two of my loves together, publishing and writing, and personal development. And so what we're doing is we're taking the best of personal development and giving it a hip-hop swing, giving it some flavor, and addressing it to our community. And it's called Urban Excellence Magazine. We are going to be in print, but I am so excited that we're going to be on Apple, where you can go and download it as an app. You can get it on your tablet digitally, as well as Google Play. I am just over the moon. And we'll be on Google Play for November, and then we'll be on Apple. You can download it onto your Apple, your iPad, come December. And then January will be in print. I'm sure many people are familiar with Success Magazine. Just think Urban Success Magazine, and I'm just thrilled about it. On our November cover, we have Damon John, and it's in an interview with him, and some of the most effective strategies for creating extraordinary results in a short amount of time. So if you go to urban-excellence.org and put your information into there, and it's for free subscription. So that's coming out, and I'm just thrilled to pieces. And then we're going to do a launch in December. So in some way, form, or fashion, get to urban-excellence.org and at least leave your name and email address so you can be a part of getting the first subscription and coming to our party to launch the publication.
Wonderful. You know, Kim, isn't it hard to believe how quickly an hour of power flies by? As we prepare to close out today's installment of Motivational Mondays, in a quick soundbite, what would you say has been your greatest life lesson to date? Drop a little wisdom on us.
My greatest life lesson to date, it would be trust who God made me to be.
Ooh, I
trust
love that.
Yes, it may not seem, because we want to say, sometimes, and even with the media and our peers and coming up in school and our neighborhoods, we want to fit in when we were clearly created to stand out. So trust who God created you to be. Oprah, you think everybody knows who Oprah is, and Oprah is ubiquitous, but when Oprah was coming up and struggling and eating tuna and, and water, there was no quote-unquote Oprah for her as a role model. Like, okay, I want to be like that. It might have been Donahue or someone, but she had to be the best Oprah she knew how to be. And that is rarer than you would really believe. And you talked about earlier about seemingly taking a demotion. Well, she was on like a local television, like a local, like, ABC type television, and she took a demotion and went to public television to be Oprah. So take seriously who God created you to be. It may not look like anything else out there, but it's a reason for it. And don't start get seriously. You may need to get some education.
Mm-hmm.
And you may need to put some you know, get some skills or some license. I mean, if you want to be a doctor, you're probably going to, you want to heal people, you probably want to get, you know, become a doctor or, you know, get your licensing. But don't do it to qualify to be good enough. That's another thing. Don't do it to be good enough. Do it so you can be the best at what it is that you were put here to do. Take it seriously. Put the time in. And here's a, and develop your own standards of excellence. Not how can I be good enough, but what is excellence for me? And chances are it's higher than, you know, the rest of the marketplace. Does that make sense?
And I love that. It does. And you know what, Kim? Oh, my gosh. We're at the top of the hour. We have to bring today's show to
okay.
a close. What some great richness was shared. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want our global listening audience to know that we will continue the dialogue through our Facebook Motivational Mondays forum. We so appreciate you tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for You. Of course, you can always stay in touch and entangled with Coach Adams through CoachAdams.com. Lots up and coming. I want you to know that we thank you again for tuning in. This is Coach Adams. I coach, and you win. One who inspires.